y'all doing out there? Doing good? Okay. My name is Crystal. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, if I haven't met you yet. And I'm grateful that you have joined us this morning, whether you're joining online or you are here in the building. We don't think that there are accidents, and we believe that God works in all of our hearts and draws us, and the Holy Spirit's working, and so you're here. And we are finishing our Summer in the Psalms series today. And next week, I want to invite you to come back out. I mean, we want you to be here every week, but next week, Pastor Sean returns from sabbatical. Yay! And so we think it would be a great encouragement to him to look out here and see all of your faces. And we are going to celebrate. We're going to have donuts and celebrate his return. And we are going to hear from him about what God has been doing in his heart and life while he's been on sabbatical. This is a great opportunity to come and hear from him so we don't all have to bombard him, you know, and get one-on-one time right away. So I'd encourage you to come back next week and hear what Pastor Sean has to say. And then after that, we're kicking off our two-week series at the movies, and we have a little twist on it this year. So a lot of stuff still happening this summer, even though we are already in August. Did anyone else feel like June and July just absolutely flew by? It just, and I thought it was already hot, and I know we're just getting into the hotter part, but it just felt like all of a sudden it's August, and next is summer, or September, and then fall. Anyone excited for that? Okay. All right. It's okay, there's room for all of us. This morning we are looking at Psalm 42. And to be honest, I had a different psalm planned for this week. And the Holy Spirit did some nudging in my heart, and there was a big pivot this week. And just general sense of what God's doing in my life and what I sense is going on with many of us. And so I just made a big pivot. And so we are just being obedient this morning and exploring Psalm 42. I told someone this morning that I've never regretted listening to the Holy Spirit. And so we are acting in obedience today. And I do want to let you know that we always have time for prayer during our service, but this morning at the end of the message, we are going to have an extended time of prayer together. We are going to spend some significant time together, hopefully around the altars, and also some time for anointing as well. And my prayer for myself and for all of us this week has been, come Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to invite you to just bow your heads real quick with me as I pray that for us this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. And we pray that not because you are not already present with us. We pray that so that we would be attuned to you. That we would be attuned and listening in, believing that you are at work. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Would you stir in our hearts? Would you help us to move distractions out of the way, to lean in this morning to your voice? It's in your name we pray. Amen. Psalm 42 is full of a lot of emotions. It's full of a lot of feelings. There's lament, there's sorrow, there's gratitude and praise. It represents a messy life that is relentlessly pursued by God. And that's really the story of all of our lives, isn't it? Messy lives, yet pursued by God. And it's refreshing to read that reality in our scriptures, that the journey of faith is not of this ideal and perfect person. Anyone say amen? And I don't know about you, but that's what I need to see. I need to see real faith, real life, and real mess. We see enough of the ideal life out there, right? We see enough of the perfectly curated homes and the perfectly curated pictures with all the kids and all the matching outfits. We see the perfectly curated vacations as if there were no arguments on the way to the airport. And I don't know about you, but I need to see people that I've put up on a pedestal struggle to know that they maybe had a bad hair day. To know that maybe they didn't say the kindest words to the person pulling out of the Trader Joe's parking lot. That there's a little bit of a mess in there because that's where God works. And you need to know that the pastors up here still struggle with doubts and have questions. Real life, real messy lives being pursued by God. Last week I shared that Our car had been broken into, and my wallet was stolen, and I shared that story with you. And then the week got really bad. More and more things happened. And last week I said I wasn't struggling with anger. And the more money that was stolen from our account, the more time that my husband spent on the phone, the more the banks continued to drop the ball, I realized I was feeling anger. And I was angry at what had happened. I was angry at what continued to happen. But I had a choice. I still have a choice. I can let this anger drive a wedge between me and God. I can say things like, why is this happening to me? What did we do to deserve this? It just feels like one thing after the next. God, where are you? It's already been a stressful week. Or I could let it be a thirst cue that reminded me and reminded my soul that I needed to seek him. And Psalm 42 is just what I needed. So I'm going to read it for us. It'll be on the screens, but if you have a Bible or the Bible app, I'd encourage you to open it up with me, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 42 is for all of us. Psalm 42 is for the one who feels like God has gone missing. Psalm 42 is for the one who has tried to quench their thirst or their soul with any number of things and yet continue to come up thirsty. Psalm 42 is for the one who longs for something to satisfy and needs to be reminded of who God is. It's for the one who is full of joy and full of gratitude and needs to be reminded to praise God for his faithfulness. This is a song from an honest, raw soul, one that is thirsty and seeking after the source that can sustain. Have you ever experienced the kind of thirst that makes your throat dry and your mouth kind of feel like cotton? Maybe you've been on a hike or in the heat, or maybe you just are in front of somebody and you don't like public speaking and your mouth just gets kind of cottony and dry and you just really need a drink of water. Someone's drinking out there right now, making me thirsty. Well, it's been about 5 years now since I was in active cancer treatment. And one of the medications that I was on had this really weird side effect, cold dystensia, which meant that anything that was cold, if I touched it, it would cause like a shocking sensation in my hands and I would drop it. Or if I tried to drink something, it would feel like I had shards of glass going down my throat. And if it was cold outside and I happened to be outside and I was breathing deeply, it would do the same thing to my lungs. And thankfully, it would dissipate a few days after the treatment, and I would get a little break before I had my next treatment. But I was so thirsty. And when you are really thirsty, warm water just doesn't do the trick. And it got to the point where even room temperature things were really painful for me. And I was just so thirsty and unable to be hydrated. I'd actually end up in the hospital to get some IV hydration. But it wasn't just my mouth that was parched. My soul was. I was weary from the treatments. I was recovering from surgery and from radiation. And my body was weary for healing. But even more than that, my soul was weary. My soul was desperate. Maybe some of you have been there. Thirst is one of those cool biological things that remind me of the intricacy of our bodies and the amazing creator that we have. I was looking it up about how we have all these different receptors. We have receptors in our mouths, and we have them in our brains, and our receptors in our mouths tell the hypothalamus that, hey, they need something to drink, and so our brains signal all the feelings that we have when we get thirsty so that we don't get into a dangerous situation. Thirst tells us something vital is missing. So if we ignore the signal of thirst, that's when we can run into trouble. For our bodies, that can lead to dizziness and confusion, and in severe cases, organ failure. It's all connected. And when the psalmist says, "My soul thirsts for God, the living God," he is saying, "My soul is crying out. I am keenly aware that I am in need of something." And that something is the living God. Our bodies were created to need water, and our souls were created to need God. As much as I want iced coffee to do the trick, I really do need to drink some water. Even though I argue that it's just bean filtered water, I need water. And our bodies need what only water can provide. As much as I try to argue. And our souls need something that only God can provide. So your thirst doesn't mean that something is wrong yet. It's alerting you that if you don't take care of it, something could go wrong. So just like I want to satisfy my thirst with iced coffee all the time, we look to satisfy our souls with any number of things. We look to our relationships. We look to boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, friends. We look to them to meet our needs, hoping maybe they find their needs met in us. We look to them to find our value. We look to them to find our worth, and yet we're still thirsty. We look to things maybe, possessions, things that we own, money, cars, any other things that maybe make you feel valuable, that maybe make you feel like that you have a place. But no matter how many things we collect, we always want to get more things. There's a thirst for more. We maybe look to our jobs or our careers to tell us that we matter. But no matter how many hours we spend there or how many steps up the ladder we climb, we can't quite quench that thirst. Sometimes our souls are wounded, and so our thirst takes us to places like alcohol and drugs, thinking that not only can that satisfy our thirst, but maybe even numb things for a while. And the psalmist has a thirsty soul. He's in pain. He is suffering. His tears are all consuming. He cannot eat. His body is depleted. Did you know that you can cry yourself into hydration? It would take a lot. I definitely science checked that fact to make sure. It would take a lot of crying, but it can happen. And I feel like this is what I sense the psalmist is expressing. I am so weary. And it's not just his soul that's in anguish, his body is too. And in the midst of it, he's being mocked. It's like being kicked when you're already down. Anyone else experience that? Where is your God? Where is your God? You're suffering, clearly. So where is your God? The psalmist honestly navigates the same questions that we might have. If I'm enduring pain, then where is God? Where is God when you run into car problems over and over and over again? Where is God when you can't get any relief? Where is God when you feel like you're drowning? Maybe it's at home. Maybe at work. Maybe you feel like that as a parent or in school if you're a student. Where is God when healing hasn't come? Where is your God? We as humans are often looking for concrete, black and white, very explainable answers. We like to draw a straight line from point A to point B. But faith asks us to use a different form of measurement. Where is God? Well, Psalm 139 says that God has been with us since even before we took our first breath. Psalm 139, 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Where is God? God is right beside you. God has always been right beside you. Where is God when your car acts up or gets broken into? Where is God when the bills roll in and you're tired and you're exhausted and frustrated and sad and in pain and feeling grief? Where he has always been. God is with you. And if you're thinking, okay, if God is with me, if God is with us, then why am I experiencing all of these things? Why isn't he just fixing it? It's going to be helpful for us to reorient ourselves with God and where God is and where we are real quick. In his book, With, Imagining the Way You Relate to God, Skye Jafani, he describes four postures that people take towards God. There's the under God posture, which is people using rules or rituals to earn blessings and try to avoid punishment. So that's one position or posture. The other one is over God, using biblical principles like formula and placing our trust in systems rather than God. And the other posture is from God, only seeing God as a source of blessing that we get things from instead of who he is. And four, finding our identity in service to him, leading to performance-driven faith. And I don't want you to miss this. We were not made for a life under God, over God, from God, or for God. We were made for a life with God. A with God life. Not just serving or using him, but being with him. The goal of life with God is God. Other answered prayers are evidence of God's kingdom breaking through. And we pray for those things. And we celebrate when we get to see that happen. But we remember that ultimately our prayers are answered in God. God is the ultimate goal. God isn't just a means to an end. He is the end. A life with God is about communion. We celebrated that just moments ago. God became flesh and made his dwelling among us to be with us. And after he died and rose again, he left us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, so we never have to be alone. And the truth, and that truth is what our souls long for. That's really what we long for. This is really what we thirst for. It's not really that all would go well. It might feel like that, but that's not really what our souls long for. It's not even that we are saved from pain. It isn't even blessing. It's God's presence. This is where your God is, with you. He's never left you, and there is nothing that you could do to make him not be with you. Nothing in your past or nothing in your future that could keep you away from God, that could keep God from loving you right where you're at. And the psalmist recognizes what we need to remember, that two things can be true. That you can feel downcast and weary and find rest and comfort in the living God. You can experience both things. And this comfort from God, it can come in various different forms. It can come from creation. After I finished late night writing a sermon this week, I walked outside and there was this beautiful sunset. And I thought, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your creation. And that brought me such encouragement. And then, I kid you not, I was driving home, and we don't have this happen a lot around here because there are a lot of dogs, but guess what ran right in front of me? A deer. And I know it's common in other areas, but where we live over there, it just doesn't happen because there's so many dogs around and coyotes. And I just thought, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for providing me comfort and encouragement through a deer. It can come through people. God can comfort us through other people. You know, this last week when it was really stressful, God used Larry and Lori Clemens' trip to Disneyland to bring me back Rice Krispie treats. That was the comfort and encouragement that our family needed. It could be silly, it could be beautiful, it could be simple. But this is how God meets us in these spaces. It could be scripture that you open up and read. It could be the fact that everything that you have read that week or listened to lined up with what God was doing in your life. This is how we serve. This is why our souls are so hungry. God knows just how to meet us right where we're at. And the psalmist knows that he can be this honest with God and say, where are you? Why haven't you shown up for me? And also place his faith. The psalmist is honest. The psalmist is raw and real, and we can be the same way. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. It's honesty time for me though. How many of you, you're not a bad Christian if you've ever said these things, you're just human. How many of you thought, God has forgotten me? I have felt that way. God has abandoned me. God doesn't care. God isn't listening. We are in good company. We are in good company because this is what the psalmist says. God is waiting for us to be this honest with him. God desires this gut level honesty because when we are this honest with God, it means we've taken off all the other layers. All the layers that maybe the facade. When we take it all off, we've got nothing left. That's where God can really work in our hearts. This is where transformation happens, when we get this honest with God. Our honesty leads us to a place where we can say, I feel this way. I feel like this right now, that you have forgotten me, that I can't trust you, that you have abandoned me, but I can place my faith in you. Doubt isn't something we have to be afraid of. Doubt can actually be a doorway to hope if we are honest with God about it. If we come to God with our doubts and we lay them before him and say, I am just not sure about this, God can do a whole lot with that. And as I read this psalm, and maybe for some of you, as you remember this psalm, and we know we're reading these through the lens of Jesus, I'm drawn to John 4. It reminds me of John 4, where Jesus tells a Samaritan woman that whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In addition, John 7, 37 through 38, where speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says this to a crowd, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. What a gift. To not need access, special access in a special building. What a gift to not have to be a certain race or from a certain people group, to not need a VIP pass or a big bank account, to not need to look a certain way or dress a certain way, that this living water is available to all. You and I have access to the living water, and what was once available for only some is now, because of Jesus, available for all. Access to a well that will never run out, a stream that never dries up, not sourced from any man-made substitutes, but from the one true God who offers eternal life, with the promise that one day there will be no more hurt. That one day there will be no more sorrow and no more pain and no more death. The God who has brought his kingdom on earth through Jesus Christ is a kingdom that has both come and is coming again. This morning, like I mentioned at the top, we're going to move to an extended time of prayer together. Just as the deer longs for water, we long for God's presence. And as a church, we've been on a journey, not just to become people who pray, but to become a praying people. And this practice, we pair a spiritual practice with a sermon series, and this practice has been prayer. And we as a church and as individuals, we desire to seek after God's heart, to depend on him and to trust him more and more. And you guys, we get one opportunity a week to gather together. We pretty much get one opportunity to do this. And so today we're going to take advantage of it. And if you are new here, we are so glad you're here, and we're thankful that you're here. And we believe, again, it's not by accident that you are here. And so we invite you to join in on this journey with us today. Just join right up to be people who don't just pray, but who are a praying people, who pray first, who pray with honesty. That's just what prayer is. It's just honest talk to God. And every week, we have time in our service for prayer, and we make space at the altars, and many of you come forward. And so I do want to invite us today, if you're physically able to in a moment, to come forward. And maybe this morning you are in desperate need of prayer for yourself and whatever is happening in your life. Maybe it's on behalf of somebody else in your life that you know. Maybe you are feeling all right and you need to pray with somebody this morning. And I know that it's sometimes awkward. I know that it kind of can feel uncomfortable, and I'm not going to manipulate this moment and force you to come. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit stir in your soul. And if you feel that stirring, I would encourage you to respond. Like I said at the beginning, I've never regretted listening to the Holy Spirit. But perhaps as I read some of these statements, maybe they ring true for you. So today, come if you're thirsty. Come if your soul feels parched. Come if you feel distant from God, like he's gone quiet or he's pulled away. Come if you feel overwhelmed by grief or anxiety or anger and you don't know where to bring it. Come if you feel dry. Come if you feel spiritually depleted, like your soul is thirsty but nothing is quenching it. Come if you feel numb. Maybe you're not even sure what you feel anymore, but you know something is a little off. Come if you feel exhausted, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and you just want rest. That was me this week. I just need to find rest in you. Come if you feel forgotten. Maybe you feel like others are moving on and you've been left behind. Come if you feel the weight of suffering. Maybe it's your own suffering, or maybe you just pop on the news and you see the suffering that's happening around the world and it is grieving your heart like it's grieving God's heart. And so today you come to pray on behalf of those suffering. Come if you feel stuck in your sin or your addiction or shame and you just long for the freedom of Jesus. Come if you feel like you've been performing, like you're trying to prove your worth to God or to others. Come if you felt wounded by the church or by people who were supposed to represent Jesus and failed to do so. Come if you feel like you've been holding it together really good on the outside, but inside you are unraveling. Come if you feel unworthy, like communion or healing or God's presence are just for somebody else and not you. Come if you feel ready to surrender something. Maybe you've been holding on to it for a really long time, and this morning it's time to surrender. Come today if you feel joy. Come today if you feel such deep gratitude for all that God has done in your life and that you cannot contain it anymore, and you have to give God praise. You have to express your gratitude. And this morning, if your soul is desperate for healing, and you would like to be anointed with oil, I'm just going to be over there at that communion table to do so. And there's nothing magic about the oil, but we believe that God uses the means of medical science to heal. But we also believe in the biblical doctrine of healing. James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." So I'll be over there. And we're not in a hurry this morning. Like I said, we've created space. So if you're looking at the clock, we're just not in a hurry. We're not going to rush this morning. Pastor Trevor's going to play a bit. He's going to sing some. And after some time, I'll come back up to dismiss. But again, if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling happy, if you're feeling joyful, if you're feeling discouraged, or if you know somebody who is, I just invite you to come. Just spend some time. Maybe come with your family, maybe come with a friend, or maybe you see someone else down here praying and you want to pray for them. And in a moment, again, I'll come back up. Jesus, I thank you that you provide a source that I cannot get elsewhere. I cannot find the comfort in a world that feels hard and makes me weary. I cannot find that in anything else but you, the comfort and the encouragement and the care. And I pray for our church this morning. I pray for those that are sad. I pray for those that are struggling in their marriages. I pray for those that are struggling with their kids, for those that are carrying heavy burdens with their health. And then God, we pray for our world. We look around and we see the suffering, sometimes at the hands of people who say they love you, and it is breaking our hearts. We know it breaks yours. So this morning we pray on their behalf as well. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you heal? Would you minister to our hearts? Would you restore to us the joy of our salvation?